Masechet Baba Batra, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Bet. Here we'll talk about a field that was sold that was supposed to be a certain measurement, but it was found to be either bigger or smaller than the agreed upon size. We'll talk about a Bet Kur. A Bet Kur is about 180 kav in what it would produce. We'll see how the halakha changes based on what type of language was used in the transaction. Mishnah says, Bet kor afar ani moched lecha mida behevel. Somebody told his friend, I'm selling you a bet kor of land as measured by the line. When he says by the line, that means he intends to sell him exactly 180 kav. Behet kol shehu yenakeh, hotir kol shehu yahazir. If after they measured the field was even a little bit less than the bet kor, the 180 kav, they would deduct from the sale price in order to reflect the appropriate ratio of what was paid and what is owed. And if there was more land than the 180 kav, then the buyer would give back whatever was extra more than the bet kur, the 180 kav. Imamar hen hased hen yater. But if the seller said, I'm selling you a bet kur of earth, even a little bit more, a little bit less, or a little bit more, then even if the measurement of the land afterwards is a quarter kav per se'ah less or a quarter kav se'ah more than it should be, which basically tells us it's at least, now I'm going to avoid all the math, but it's about 4% more or less than was agreed upon, we say higi'o, the buyer keeps the field, no refund is made. The statement of the seller was more or less. That means he's including a little bit of discrepancy, a little bit of a not being exact. And therefore, 1/24 of the total is what you could be off. It's what's acceptable. And therefore, the sale stands without any adjustment of price on this. Yoter mikan ya'aseh hashbon. But if the extra land or the missing land in the transaction is more than the 7.5 kav, which again is around 4%, then we make a adjustment and we see how much is extra, how much is missing, and therefore we make a change to the sale. If the land was found to be smaller than was required, so it's not the 180 kav, but it's more than 7.5 kav less than that. So therefore, it's around 172 kav or less. What happens in that situation? The seller then has to refund some of the sale price to the buyer. He didn't give him enough land. He has to give him a refund. But if there's more land, if the buyer now realizes he took more land than the 180 kav, and we're talking about more than 7.5 kav extra, so he took over 187.5 kav. So what happens depends on what the seller wants to do, like the Mishnah will now tell us. Mahu mahazir lo ma'ot. What does the buyer have to return to the seller if the land is bigger than a bet kav? He has to return him ma'ot. He has to return him money. The buyer has to pay the seller the extra money for the extra land, and the buyer keeps the land with the rest of the field. But if the seller wanted to, he could obligate the buyer to return the extra land, and the buyer would have to give back the extra piece of land. What we're saying here is the seller has the choice. He could allow the buyer to keep the extra piece of land and get paid in money for it, or he could take back that extra land if he'd like to. Why do we give the seller the choice? Why do we give him the advantage in this case? We would think that we just say, okay, the buyer only agreed to buy 180 kav, which is one bet kur. So anything extra should just give the land back to the seller. Why are we giving the seller the choice between money and the karka, the land? Mishnah says, V'lama amru ma'azir lo ma'ot. Why do we say that the buyer has the obligation to return money to the seller for the extra land? If the seller wants money back, why don't we just say, just return the land? The answer is the Mishnah, Le'afot koho shel mocher. This is in order to give the upper hand to the seller. We're nervous that if the seller now has the extra piece of land returned to him, it could be a tiny piece of land that would have no use. It would have nothing. It's useless to him. So therefore, We want to protect the seller, make sure he doesn't have a financial loss because he can't do anything on that tiny little parcel of land, as opposed to the buyer who already has a bet kur. So now to add to his bet kur, he could do something big with. So therefore, we require the buyer to purchase the land if that's what the seller wants. But the seller doesn't have this option if the extra land has use on its own. What we just said, that the obligation for the buyer to pay for the extra pieces of land, that's only if there's no use to the land itself. But if the land has use, then the seller can't require the buyer to pay. Sheim shi'ed basadeh bet tish'a kabin. The option of forcing the buyer to pay for the land doesn't exist if the extra land that's left over after the full bet kur was handed over is 9 kav or more. If, in other words, the total piece of land was 189 kav from the beginning, 180 were handed off to the buyer, and now there's 9 kav left. If there's 9 kav left, we don't force the sale to the buyer. Ubagina bet hatzi kav, if we're talking about a land, piece of land that's a garden, then a half kav in size. Ukidivre Rabbi Akiva bet rova, mahazir lo et hakarkar. According to Rabbi Akiva, if the extra garden land was a quarter kav in size, then the buyer returns the extra land to the seller. We don't make him buy it. In these cases, a grain field that's 9 kav is big enough to plant on its own, and therefore the seller could keep that land. He won't suffer a loss, and he'll do something with it. He'll produce something with that piece of land, and therefore we don't have the need to force the buyer to pay for it. In the case of the garden, a garden that's a half kav in size, or according to the Biakiva, even a quarter kav in size, has the ability also to become useful, and therefore we wouldn't force the buyer to pay for this extra piece of land, we would just return it to the seller. We mentioned the din that if there was a discrepancy of 7.5 kav per the bet kur, then it's acceptable, and that no matter how much the discrepancy is, the deal goes through because we weren't being medakdek, we weren't being exacting in size. But whenever we have a case that's more than 7.5, either more or less, then the money goes back to the right place, or the land is returned to the rightful owner. We make sure that things are settled up. Question becomes, if it's more than 7.5, let's say it's 9, and the seller gave 189 kav to the buyer. So we said if it was less than 7.5, doesn't count. Everyone forgives each other. If it's more, then the land goes back to the seller. So what goes back? Is it the difference between the 187.5 and 189? That 1.5 amot, does that go back? And the 187 stays with the buyer? Or once we're giving land back, does the full amount past the bet kur go back? So we say v'lo tarova bilvadu mahzir. He doesn't only return the extra piece of land of the quarter kav per se'ah. In other words, the extra land above and beyond the 7.5 kav per bet kur. Not only the post 7.5 land that the buyer has to return in this case, ela et hakol motar. Rather, he has to give back all extra land. What we're saying here is when extra land is given back, because it's more than 7.5 kav, it's not just whatever's extra after 7.5 kav is given back, but rather the seller here is forgiving nothing, and all of the extra land has to be returned to him, because since some land is being returned, we say everything is being returned to him above the 180, and that he was being now exacting with the 180, and the buyer only keeps 180 kav, and he returns anything above that, including the first 7.5, and obviously everything afterwards.